Staff members, colleagues, for joining us today for the announcement. Okay, Council, next item is legislative update. I'm passing down a piece of legislation that I want to bring to your attention. We have a few pieces of legislation, some introduced, some are not introduced yet, and other items of activity in Leg Hall that are taking place here in the last days of this 148th General Assembly that I wanted to go over today. This first piece of legislation is House Bill 396. You see the co-sponsors, and the title of the bill is called Bring New Jobs to Delaware Act. I would ask that you turn to page 2, section 6963, which is listed under section 3 of the bill. This is a piece of legislation that impacts all three counties, and the section I've drawn your attention to is specifically Sussex County. This has a number of stakeholders that support this initiative. Some of those stakeholders came and met with myself and Mr. Lank to discuss this draft legislation. In essence, this would allow each county to enact an expedited review process for all land use plans. And specifically, those land use plans would be for properties with an office, business park, manufacturing, or industrial zoning classification of any kind that involves either 75,000 square feet of new space or the creation of at least 60 new full-time permanent jobs in the respective counties. This section obviously reads Sussex County. And what this expedited review process does is to create a the folks that are in support of this, a quicker review process for both the county's process as well as the state's process. And in essence, finalizing an entire application in a 9-month total time frame. That includes our review and action as well as the state's agency review and action. I do want to draw your attention to one requirement within this. It does allow for the counties to charge a one-time expedited review fee of $20,000. In addition to that, a $5,000 charge could be also given to the state agencies to help defray the cost of this expedited review. My comments to the folks that came and met with us, and those were the lobbyists behind this, and that included the Home Builders Association and members of their group. And there are a number of business stakeholders that are behind this. My comment was, first, I'm concerned that the county would enact an expedited review process that would then have some level of expectation for the state agencies to finish their review in a certain time frame. I don't know that we have the authority to dictate how fast they would review their process. And then also, I guess I commented, and Mr. Lank can weigh in on this as well, we don't have a backlog in, currently. We're in pretty good shape as far as our standard review. It takes months to get through, but we don't have a multi-year backlog of plans coming through the county. So, and we're generally, Sussex is generally not considered a point of not allowing expedited review. We usually generally get strong support in the fact that we do get things through the process fairly quickly. But with that, I would entertain questions.
I have a question. Actually, you're talking about full-time. You're talking about full-time permanent jobs. Building homes is not always done by local people. I didn't expect you to mention.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I skipped through part of this just for time. Residential and commercial retail projects are not eligible for this expedite review process.
Okay.
So thank you for allowing me to clarify.
Questions, Council?
Mr. President, if
Farlett.
I may. Number one, for the question for our attorney is, does the state even have the authority to mandate how we run our business as it relates to land use plans in this matter?
I think
Obviously, all the power flows from the state. The state was what gave us the home rule to begin with, and the state can limit that or change it through legislation, not through regulation by individual agencies. So this is legislation.
So I guess, is that a yes? I mean, I'm trying
you
to...
You know, you're asking me for a legal opinion on the spot.
I know, and I'm sorry. I just...
Yes, there is certain abilities that the state can limit.
Okay. And the other question I would have is, do they have similar timelines within their own state agencies?
I have no clue. I mean...
Does anybody know?
I believe this legislation, if you read it, it does create...
Cover both, I think.
It does create both. The 9 months applies to county and state. Any applicant would have to work their way through all the agencies, and we know those agencies to be Deneric, Fire Marshal, DelDOT, and depending on the nature of the business, other agencies as well. So this... That's where I did have concerns on initial read of how the county would require a state agency to expedite their process, but this clearly does create a nine month time requirement for this expedited review.
I mean, if you read that whole sentence, obviously I do think their intent is it all be done in 9 months. But the last sentence, that's what it says, provided that all non-county permits and approvals necessary for county approval have been obtained. So obviously, if something out there, the fire marshal or Deneric or DelDOT or whoever, does not have theirs done, then certainly the county's not held to the 9 month. Mm-hmm. How I read that.
Yes. I appreciate the spirit of the bill. Of course, I think we all need our desperation for certainly for private sector jobs and manufacturing opportunities in the state, and certainly we don't want it to Sussex County for any other county to hold up that process, which I don't think we are certainly. So I just find it intriguing that the state is coming out with a bill to mandate us to do this. So, but. Okay.
I was intrigued as well. That's why I wanted to share this with you. Stay tuned. I'm not sure if they'll be able to work this way, its way through General Assembly by the end of this session, but I wanted to make you aware.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item for our discussion are two draft bills. They are yet to be introduced. This is an initiative by Representative Paul Baumbach. Representative from Newcastle County in the Newark area. He is also the chair of the Mobile Home Manufactured Housing Committee. Mr. Representative Baumbach has contacted the counties regarding this initiative. I had a conference call with his office and representatives from Newcastle and Kent County, as well as my colleagues here at Sussex County.
Thank you.
Mr. Baumbach is concerned about the counties following current state code as it relates to the reassessment of mobile homes. And the current state code, Title 985-8351, requires mobile homes to be reassessed every 5 years. The issue with that requirement is none of the three counties currently reassess according to the intent of this current Title IX in Delaware Code. I say that with one caveat. Newcastle County does reassess, but they don't reassess as it is written currently. Mobile homes shall reassess every 5 years. So the representative has drafted this legislation, which I do believe he has intentions to introduce very soon. He's asked for the counties to comment on this draft legislation, and I wanted to bring this to your attention today. Sussex County is a little unique in the fact that we have, as you know, very many mobile homes or manufactured homes. Our tax records show that we have over 25,000 mobile homes. And the problem with simply stating that we should reassess these mobiles has many layers to it. The first thing to consider is the fact that while it says to reassess the mobile homes, it does not take into any account improvements that may be added to these mobile homes. A lot of the mobile homes get put in place, and then they have additions that are put in place as well, which would increase the value of the mobiles. The second thing is the fact that they're asking for reassessment, but it's only of one particular class of housing, mobile home manufactured homes. What about the other aspects of reassessment of property in the county? And I'm speaking to Sussex County, but this obviously would impact all three counties. Last, we have a unique way of assessing our all real property in the county and all property including manufactured homes. And I've asked our Director of Assessment, Chris Keeler, to join us today just to give the council a quick overview of the process as it is right now. If someone purchases purchases a new mobile or an old mobile manufactured home, they obviously are taxed on that, and Mr. Keeler will give us the process.
All right.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. As Mr. Lawson spoke to, Sussex County treats mobile homes the same as any other class of a building or improvement, whether that be a single-family dwelling, commercial building, or agricultural building. Mobile homes are appraised per square foot, utilizing cost values established in 1974 by the H.L. Yeo Company during our last reassessment. Adjustments are made to the base cost of the mobile home for any accessory items that are added to the home, such as he mentioned, wood deck, porch, a room addition, etc. He also mentioned we have approximately 25,000 mobile homes located in Sussex County. The average assessment for a mobile home is approximately $9,250, which equates to about an annual tax bill of about $400, of which the school portion is the majority of that, of $360, with $40 going to the county. If someone was to get a permit for a mobile home now, our assessor would go out, measure the square footage of that home, plus any additions to it, whether it would be a deck or a porch, that would go over into the overall appraised value of that home. That's basically how it's done in a nutshell.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler.
Yep.
I'll state before we open up for questions, when we had our initial conference call with the three counties represented, Sussex raised a number of concerns on that call, as well as Kent County, because neither one of these counties currently do any type of reassessment on manufactured homes as it stands now. Because Newcastle does do some type of reassessment to allow for depreciation of the property, they're not, I would say they didn't raise as much of a concern on the initiative, but certainly a lot of questions. One of the biggest questions for me is, if we were mandated to do this, how would we possibly go out and visit 25,000 manufactured homes or mobile homes in a certain amount of time? If there is a time factored into this, it would be a Herculean effort for us to cover if the state decides to do this. So that's where we are. I passed out two pieces of legislation. The second one is fairly straightforward, and it doesn't have to do with reassessment. It's just an initiative to ensure that a person that is a tenant in a manufactured home park is aware of the fact that in most cases they don't own the land under them, and also they need to show the park owner or the community owner the fact that they hold title, proper title, to the manufactured home, and then the manufactured home community owner has to show them the terms of their lease. So it's a paper exchange acknowledging the type of housing that the people are attempting to lease.
Whenever I have some questions.
Mrs. Deaver.
I don't know what the purpose is. We already tax the mobile home unit itself. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, that goes to the county?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about increasing those taxes if there are improvements, you're saying, mm-hmm. to the object, to the unit. Or if, for instance, an old one was removed from a lot and a new one was brought in, is that it? Would that key reassessment or higher tax?
Depending on the year of the mobile, we would go out.
Well, uh-huh.
And
yeah,
due to
know.
Square footage. Yes.
Yeah. We have a problem with, say, affordable housing in this county, and I don't understand the reasoning behind this. It just makes it, in my opinion, makes it just harder for the folks that live there. We have so many people with very low income who do live in mobile home parks, and we still approve them. We just approved a new one on Route 16, hundreds of them. So we're not against it.
Hmm.
And I kind of like the fact that we have low income housing in these parks. I don't understand the reason why we want to do this. Does the county need this money, or what is the overall impetus for this? I don't see.
I would direct the question to Representative Baumbach, but I will tell you in that conversation with him, it seems as though it boils down all the way to parity and the fact that we should be following state law as it was written. Whenever this was enacted, and because one county, Newcastle, sort of reassesses and the other two counties do not, I think it comes down to making sure that each county fairly follows the law.
Oh, so if we don't do it, then it's not fair, is what you're saying? What do we run into then? What law is it?
That's to be determined.
Just a matter of fairness. I mean,
it seems as though that is one of his intents in following through with this. Now, again, he's the chair of the Manufactured Housing Committee, subcommittee.
Oh, the people that make the homes, is that the Manufactured Housing Committee?
Well, yes, it's not the people that make the homes. It's
no.
the people. It is a committee that is created to represent manufactured
the home.
Homes and issues related to manufactured
of the
homes.
The people who make the homes. Well, they build the homes, do they not? I mean, isn't that what they do? Manufactured homes?
They represent
everybody.
You know, I'm not sure if I understand.
I think who he's, this committee is put in place to represent the people who reside in manufactured homes.
Oh, manufactured home owners.
Yes. The people who reside in those homes,
right,
I think they started Zerokind, their work between those people and the park owners.
Mm. Okay, I just don't get it then, where it's really coming from, park owners, manufactured home owners, or the manufactured home people. So I just would like to take a good look at it again. It's low income or you know, a little bit easier, low, medium income people that need places to live, so. Need to be very careful. I want to be very careful with this.
Any more questions, Mr. Deaver?
No.
Question to council. Mr.
Yes.
Arlett.
Mr. President, a couple of questions. Number one, it was made mention that Delaware code, or I guess law, requires us to reassess every 5 years. Is that a true statement?
That is correct. Current code
does. Okay. And so, therefore, right now, we are not following suit to that current law.
We currently do not reassess manufactured housing. Correct.
Okay. So, all right, that's point number one. Point number two is it's important to understand, is there a fiscal note attached to this? In other words, has it been determined what the expense would be to make this happen?
There is not a fiscal note attached. I do not know if the representative has an intent to do that. I know it was discussed, the expense that would be incurred to take on this effort.
And I would think that this council, not that I'm speaking on behalf of the council, but I would think that this council would never agree to anything, whereas we are solely paying for this reassessment, whereas the state is receiving 86% of the proceeds. That doesn't make us like a very good business deal there. So I think if whenever there is a discussion of reassessment, I would like to think that the state would step up and at least pay for their piece of what they're receiving, which would be 86%. Is that an accurate? I should be looking down at Ms. Jennings, correct?
That's correct.
That is okay, correct. So just, I think that's very relevant to any discussion when it comes to reassessment, and we should hold the state, remind the state of that they receive 86% of what we take in. And I would recommend that the public make sure that they remember that as well.
Okay, when you finish, I see.
And then the other part of this is, it was made mention to the mobile, but what about the land? Is this also a requirement in this bill? Is the land being reassessed?
No, it is not.
So it is not affecting the landowner, it's just affecting the owner of the trailer, basically?
That's correct.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, thank you. That's all.
That's all, Mr. President.
Mr. President, may I ask a question?
Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Keeler, mm-hmm. Is it correct that the reassessment or the mobiles or manufactured housing, when it is assessed on the 1974 values?
Yes, that is correct.
So there's already a depreciation in effect with our assessment as it is, because they are not being assessed at today's rate, but instead in 1974 values, even new manufactured yes. homes that come into the county as of today.
Yes, even a 2016 that was placed today would be assessed at a 74 value.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Yeah, I do have a question. At some point, they were classified as automobiles. I mean, that they're, you know, they came in on wheels in the old days, and a lot of them don't go out on wheels. But still, there's some sort of law that where that's where they fall in that category. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we would assess automobiles, but you know. Okay, and the other thing that Mr. Arlette was saying, we collect property tax, but the 86% of what we collect is not for the county.
Right.
It goes to the state.
That's
for
right.
School tax. That is simply a fiduciary responsibility on the county's part. We have agreed to do that, but that's school tax and does not belong to the county. I just want to clarify that, because
right.
I hear you say they take 86% of our taxes. That's not quite right. So, thank you.
Any more comments from council? Questions?
On the other bill, I'm sorry. This other one that was mentioned,
yes.
I'll put my realtor hat on. Isn't that already required? I mean, the documentation that is mentioned in this bill already required for a property that you're going to settlement on?
I believe requirement to show the manufactured home owner's intent to rent and the landlord's copy, the housing community's requirement to show their requirements is. But the title, which is a major issue with mobile home manufactured housing, the title issue is not. So in an effort to clean the title process right now, they are adding that requirement to make sure that the manufactured home's title is a copy is provided to the landlord. And I don't know if that is required right now. I would think it is not, because that's why they're adding that into the law.
Is it, can you add it just to the landlord-tenant code and be done with it, put it a requirement in there versus coming up with a bill?
To be honest with you, I've not looked at it from that angle, so I would have to research that.
Okay, not that we need to. But
anything else from council?
Okay.
Mr. Lawson. We have two more. And the next one, thank you, Mr. Keeler, is with Mrs. Jennings, who will give us an update on the water tax initiative.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. In front of you, I had put a packet where it says task force findings, and there's three packets there. So the first packet there that's stapled together is the findings of the task force. They are meeting today to go over these documents. I did just receive them last night, so they are fresh documents. So the findings include multiple statements. There's 15 statements there of what the task force came up with. Few of them are, they're saying clean water is essential to Delaware. Clean water supports segments of Delaware's tourism, recreation, agriculture, economy, which supports about 70,000 jobs. Total funding for water quality has not kept pace with funding needs, and there's currently a shortage of $100 million annually needed for water quality programs in Delaware. With that, then, the task force has come up with some recommendations. Some of the recommendations include the General Assembly should increase funding to maintain Delaware's waterways. The clean water fee should be collected and administered in a practical way that is most efficient. And public education is a critical element of building and sustaining public awareness of water quality and flood issues. So that's your first packet. The next one that is titled Scope of Challenges. This is a list of program needs that come up with that $100 million that they say that's needed annually. This includes program needs for drinking water, wastewater, stormwater, flooding and drainage, pollution remediation, and groundwater. So those, if you read that document, you'll see where their needs are. And then the last packet is the draft legislation. Again, this is, has not been introduced. I would think that after today's task force meeting, they would introduce it before June 30th, so or something similar to this. The draft legislation, the Act creates a clean water fund. It's supported by a dedicated revenue source and proposed new clean water fee that will be levied by adding a surcharge to personal income tax and business license fees. The surcharge will be capped at $40 for individuals and $80 for joint filers and $45 for business licenses. Total revenues from the fee are estimated to be $20 million annually, and then the fee can be leveraged to gain another $50 million in total financing. The trust would be managed by five members that are comprised of the Secretary Denrek, the Secretary of Finance, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Health and Social Services, and an appointed member with financial expertise. So this, again, is just an update. The draft legislation has not been introduced, but I wanted you to be aware of what is happening at the task force.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we will stand by.
One quick question, Mr. President. Just one, I promise. Just no one. Doubt. I know the one that's been asked several times, but is there any update on if indeed this actually does pass? Is there language in here to ensure that this is a lockbox, whereas they cannot steal the money to balance their budget?
Correct. Lockbox is a constitutional amendment that they're creating, and you'll see in the synopsis here that there'll be a separate legislation on the lockbox to protect these funds.
They've had to key that box a long time.
but it does state in this bill about the lockbox to protect.
But you mentioned it's separate.
It will be
separate legislation. It's not included in this legislation.
No, because it's going to encompass all. It's not just this. It's all whenever they create one of these trust funds. It's encompassing all state trust funds.
Okay, I have a question.
Mrs. Deaver.
This is, if I understand, is to correct the problems we have with water being impaired. Mm-hmm. And it's not including drinking water, or is it?
It is including drinking
Very
water
good.
As well.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So we have a mess. And this bill's, or this work, this committee seems to have been looking in how to clean up the mess, if I understand correctly.
Denrek is responsible for that solely, but
yes.
Then the committee was put together to help create a sustainable income or find maybe education opportunities
right.
for the society,
right.
you know, to help.
So we're being asked to pay to clean up the mess.
Yes.
My question is, why do we, for the future, we don't make any changes in the way these matters are being treated by, you know, we still have laws on the books that create this water impairment. So, I mean, we're just cleaning up the mess. Am I on key here?
A lot of it is cleaning up
uh-huh.
the current water, and
right.
then there's plans to also, to help. Once you clean it up, they said that's
right.
what the cost is, and then monitoring it going forward.
Monitoring
that makes sure that
but
there's...
But we're not looking at ways to... avoid making more messes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So what's happening is, what's happening here is, talking about clean water, they're gonna have to hire more help to monitor the water, is that correct?
So the bill encompasses 10% for administration fees to help with this bill.
So in one sense, we're gonna spend more than we take in. This is a joke almost about clean water. I've lived on a farm all my life. I've had the cow pasture right on one side and the pound on one side, and actually right, and the well wasn't even 20 feet to the ground. and I put water out for years, clean water. That's almost a joke. It's just the way it's Secretary of Finance, Secretary of Natural Resources, all state appointed. Just the way I get money from the average person out here that don't know what's going on.
Anything else from council?
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I said one question only. May I retract that statement, Mr. President? I couldn't. I'm sorry. So, you know I couldn't. But I mean, here at the county, we've just talked about reassessment. We just talked about, of course, a source of revenue that we receive through county council is, you know, having property taxes. That's one of our few methods of receiving income, you know, from the taxpayers to generate and supply and you know, this county government. But here, there is a mandate coming down from the state of Delaware and the legislature to basically tax the residents on their property.
Anybody that pays income tax?
It's personal income tax. It was originally on the property tax bill, but it's been changed and it's personal.
So it has been changed.
Yes.
It's going to be on your state income tax.
Income
you'll
tax.
Pay 40, and if you and your wife file jointly, you'll pay 80.
If you own property.
If you pay income tax.
You pay income. I just want to clarify because before, originally, I think it was intended. So that makes me feel a little bit better.
Now it's strictly on income tax. So if you pay income tax, you will pay that. If they pass the bill, you pay 40 or you pay 80 for two of you.
I appreciate that. A very important clarification. So thank you.
I have trouble believing, Mr. President. I have problem sometimes believing about the talking about dirty water. I just heard from the TV report this week that it's not true, that Delaware Bay is 20% closer to cleaner today than it was 40 years ago. It's not true. Actually, our past governor, Mrs. Ruth Ann Minner, she walked out there into the water. She said, I can't hardly see my shoes. As she went up there further, as she went further out, she said, I could see my, she walked clear out. Next year, she clear up to her knees. And so we just keep cleaning this water up. So this is an old story, just way of getting money from you. That's what it amounts to. Amounts to nothing, really. I live on a farm. I can tell you one thing. I want clean water. I want good water for my children. And that's one thing we're going to do is have clean water. So we're not going to spill chemicals. I buy chemicals, and the price I pay for chemicals, I can bet you on one thing: the state don't pay for them. I'm not going to use any more chemicals than I have to use. So that's the way it is.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
All right, Mr. President. Last one. Thank you. This is just an easy one. Hopefully, well, we'll see. just to update you, there's been talk in the General Assembly about the state-county relationship as it relates to finances. I'm passing down language that the Joint Finance Committee has circulated relating to forming a committee. By which the county administrator for Kent, Sussex County, as well as the county executive of Newcastle County will serve along with other members listed here. I'll read that the committee shall suggest efficiencies, improvements, and cost savings to the state, including but not limited to the realty transfer tax, the register of wills, and the operations and trainings associated with county paramedics program. Here are the membership suggested. And this committee will convene and then bring their recommendations to the governor by January 15th of next year. I believe there is intent by the General Assembly to include this committee formation in epilogue language in the legislation that will pass for this year. Just making you aware of their intent.
So that is a new...
new committee.
New effort, a new committee which combines state and county in determining how we can control some of these costs, I think. Okay, if I understand it. Thank you very much.
Lawson, you're still up.
Okay.
Are we allowed to have a comment on this one?
Oh, certainly. I'm sorry.
If that's okay, real
certainly,
quick.
Certainly.
So I just wanted to revisit what is mentioned in the top section here. Recognizing that the state has assumed programs that were once funded by the counties. So could we get a determination or a definition of what that really means? Does that mean that we no longer wanted it and they took it from us? I mean, it's like the, we gave it to them because we didn't want it. I read it as such. And I think that is so very misleading, in my opinion, because in the end, we are already currently at the mercy of the state, are we not? I mean, they mandate to us what programs that we shall run and how it's funded. And if they take something away from us, it's because of them, not because of us. Is that also a true statement?
So,
that is correct.
To me, it is absolutely a misleading statement. And to me, it's all about how they can figure out how to get more money from us, even though they're the ones who created the system and that we have been playing with for years. And all of a sudden, now they want to blame us for what they created.
Well, maybe one of the, if I may, maybe one of the issues early on, because Mr. Lawson's correct. I mean, I think what I've been told is they're going to pass this in epilogue language, probably in the budget bill or somewhere in there. Maybe one of the questions that Mr. Lawson will be on the committee would be for the county governments to ask the question, what programs are they referring to? What programs actually have been assumed by the state and for what purpose?
Well, most recently, I think we could sit here and say, most recently it is the animal control, correct? They assumed it, but however, who actually is paying for it?
Well, and keep in mind,
we are paying for it.
They had it.
Right.
They had it. We still pay them. They had it.
Right.
They gave it to the counties and we paid for it. Then they took it back and we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. So the county has always paid for dog control. It depends who's run the program. So it was the state to the county and they took it back again. So
go ahead.
Nothing unusual about it.
No, so I just, again, and I think a prime example is, and then I have another comment on the rest of this, but that is, of course, the paramedics. You know, one of the most important programs in this entire state, regarding public safety. And originally, to my knowledge, the history of the paramedics, which was formed by the state of government, or by the state of Delaware, excuse me, originally it was intended to be, I believe, originally a 70-30 ratio. However, once it was instituted, it got shifted at the last minute, and it ended up being a 60-40,
right.
Correct?
The bill they actually passed that started the paramedics was
right.
60-40.
Correct, meaning that the state was paying for 60% of the paramedic expense,
40.
And the county was paying for 40%. Well, today, okay, as of this moment, the current arrangement that the state has mandated, because again, we are the mercy of the state, is that the state pays just 30%.
That's correct.
And we pay 70%. So originally they were paying 60, now they're only paying 30. So in that one example, the state's responsibility has been cut in half. So, and they've pushed, you know, the other 30% on the counties without us having any input.
You're exactly right.
At all. So let's talk about responsibilities of governments. I would love to have that discussion with the state. So that's number one. Number two is all the members of this committee. I see just three members of any county government on this list. Is that true?
Correct.
So how many elected officials slash appointees from the state agencies are involved in this committee? I can't do the math here this quickly, but...
Three.
What's that?
More than three.
Yeah, more than three. And we just have three. So it appears to me the SAC is already against us. And how is that democracy in a state? Where is the voice of the people being heard?
Good point.
No,
you're exactly right. There are seven either members of the legislature or appointed people.
So
one public member. And then from the counties and or towns, there are four, because one person there from Delaware League could be a county member or could be a town member.
So I would encourage that we have more of a voice and not less. That would be perhaps a voice, a comment to bring back. And again, I think it's very misleading, and to me it appears to be just for optics only. I think they already have their agenda in mind.
The question is, the realty transfer tax of 3% is a state tax, is
correct.
It not? And we don't have a constitution, is that right? We go by the state constitution. Are we not enabled by the state to do the few things that we do, land use and emergency services and a few libraries, if I understand. I would like to have these issues settled, and I'm kind of concerned about raising all of this fuss. I think the people are not interested, and it's my opinion, not interested in us blaming them blaming us, and all this political talk. I would like to just make an effort to work with the state and represent the people. And so that's where I stand.
Well, I think, I mean, that's certainly a valid point. I think I'm sure that's going to be Mr. Lawson's intention. It's going to be council's intention. But certainly, if we're going to accomplish anything, we're going to accomplish more by going up there and trying to work with them on a fair playing field than try to go up there and punch them in the nose and see what we get.
Thank you very much.
Because obviously, we all realize they control our destiny. We don't control our own.
And saying on the radio that they are alcoholic spendaholics is not a good thing to say.
Well, that's...
Thank you.
She was referring to me, Mr. President. Yeah, I think I made comments.
I don't know. So. Okay, anything else from council? Mr. Lawson, you're still up?
Yes, sir.
You're on a roll, aren't you?
Thank you. Big day. The next item is our proposed amendment to Ordinance 2414. As you